Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
It's gone!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, we are so ready. Bulldog's got Sam Panayotovich's Fox article up on how to bet the open.
Just retweeted it.
I've got...
Re-X'd it.
That doesn't re-X'd
work.
It?
That does not work. Reposted.
I've got the FanDuel app with the... actually, right now I have the three balls lines. You ever bet those? The three balls?
I don't even have... I really don't know what the hell that is.
I think you can bet low score in any group for the day tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark, Gary Woodland.
Okay.
Plus 150, plus 180, plus 210. I don't know what happens if there's a tie. Maybe get your money back?
Yeah, probably void.
That would happen a lot.
Yeah.
The three balls.
All right. That's a very sensible explanation. I've seen it in the app, and I just have never, like, I don't even know what that is. I'm going to pick who's going to win.
Scottie Scheffler, minus 190 to finish in the top five. We don't care about the top five when it comes to the pick 10. We care about the top one. And it is on Brian Koziol this week to find us the winner. Get ready. Write it down. Tail these. Do what you think is right. Brian, host of Tee to Green. He'll be joining us each day the rest of the week to talk about the Open, which tees off tomorrow morning early. And Brian, some of the big names get going before even 8 o'clock. Brian?
Yeah, I think that, sorry guys.
Yes.
I think that is going to spread out our coverage tomorrow. I know it's tough tomorrow to be able to figure out where it's going to be. I know it's USA bright and early, then it's NBC later, and then I think Peacock also, and then the next day it's all three. So be ready to juggle between USA, Peacock, and NBC over the next 4 days. And it doesn't even make sense in terms of how the coverage is. But yes, it starts early. Tee times are before 7 a.m., and it's the toughest test of golf for the year. If you like watching pro golf, pro golfers struggle. If you like carnage, you've come to the right place. The rough is averaging 5 inches high all across the course. They have the stemp meter, whatever that means in terms of the golf speed on the ball, or the speed of the golf ball on the green is in the high 14s, which is super, super fast. And Oakmont's layout sets up to be a challenge as it is, regardless of how long the rough is or regardless of how fast the greens are. So it's on tomorrow. I love the U.S. Open. It's one of my favorite sporting events of the season. I think the timing of the year, too, just it's a good time for sports. And, I'm ready to go bright and early tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Peacock Friday, if people are counting on watching it in the morning, you better have Peacock. Friday, I think, until like 1 in the afternoon is Peacock.
Let's go. Bring chips.
So I may come in early just so I can watch.
Does Joe's mom have Peacock?
We'll have it in here. I'm pretty sure we get it in here.
Joe's mom.
Sure, I think. Whatever that is. Yeah.
Donna.
Is that
Joe's mom? Didn't you try once to find out the channels and like her name came up?
I don't remember that.
When we're streaming?
Yeah. Anyway.
Joe's mom. I hope that's right.
Well, Brian, do you happen to know like the stemp meter? Like the fastest greens, I played at Lancaster last Wednesday and I four putted on a hole like midway through the round, knowing how fast everything was. Like I play at Delaware Park, okay? So like any place is probably going to be faster. And Lancaster was really fast for me, so much so that I four putted like on the 12th hole or something after, you know, playing 11 holes. What's a high reading here? Do you know?
I think it's, I would say maybe like 11 would be a number that you'd say, ooh, these are faster greens.
Yeah.
You know, if you went somewhere and noticeable difference. I think the slower paced ones in the area, if you're going to some public courses where
right.
maybe you say, hey, these are slower greens, and it's back to the single digit numbers, maybe 8 and 9. But
right.
essentially, they have this tool that looks almost just like a long ruler with some grooves to hold the golf ball, and they just let it go. And they calculate the distance from where they let it go and how far it goes, and then essentially produces this stem
right.
meter number to tell you how fast it is. And yes, this is a faster U.S. Open. They normally obviously make the greens fast. That's part of the USGA shtick when they set up the course. But this is even a little bit faster. And the members at Oakmont and the course superintendent, everybody loves it there. They say that they don't really dial it back at all in years that they don't host big tournaments like this. They said the members love it this fast.
Wow.
I don't know if signing up to play the hardest golf course in the country and getting just beaten up every single day would be my ideal of spending a lot of money and being a golf member, but that's what they do.
Right.
I think they wear it with kind of a badge of honor there that they love it, that it's the fastest greens and maybe known for being the most challenging course in the country.
Brian, we know what the reputation of this tournament, the U.S. Open, is now. The how hard they want to make it, right? They don't want 15 under par winning their tournament. They want it in the single digits, and they usually get that result. The rough, the greens, narrow fairways, whatever it is, right? Different courses have different challenges. Do you know if it has been like that for, like when Jack and Arnold were in their primes?
Ooh.
was this like, do you know enough about the history, or is it a reaction to like the Tiger Woods era, guys bombing at 320 yards and now even more than that? Like just the technology, as the USGA made it harder because they feel like they're being taken advantage of by the technology and the athletes.
I think there's been a stress in general lately because of the technology and guys, you know, obviously power has been a part of the game forever. Like that's always been something
yeah.
that's been intriguing for golfers since the game has been in existence. But I think for the most part, U.S. Opens have played on average more so closer to par, even going back maybe before, you know, I guess I would even say before I was even born, like 60s
yeah.
and 50s and things like that. I know. Looking at some previous Oakmont winning scores, the last three, -4, that was the DJ win. Then Cabrera was +5. That was the year he beat out Tiger. So +5 overs, a
yeah,
high
right.
score. And then Els, I believe, in 94 was -5. So that's the lowest it's ever been.
You know, I asked you that question, and as you started to answer it, I remembered that we were sitting in here. We've had the Golf Channel on the last 2 days during the show, and you know, it's different. There's Live at the Open from the Golf Channel, you know, whatever, panel show. And then there's like these highlight shows. And yesterday they were showing a highlight show, and they showed Johnny Miller walking off the 18th green 1 year with a score of +21, and him shaking his head as he was like, and walking like he was going to fall. He was just like, this thing just absolutely put me through a wood chipper. So I guess I knew the answer to some degree, at least at this course, Oakmont. But anyways.
Yeah, I think it's probably been like that for a long time. I mean, I'm not doing the research here on the spot, but I would guess even if you go back, I mean, just – I looked it up for Oakmont just for discussion reasons. I know when they held it back in the 20s and the 30s, a winning score 1 year was 10 over and another year was 13 over. So I'm right. guessing if we just kind of piece it together that it's kind of been for this tournament one that maybe sees an over par winning score more often than not.
McIlroy won his at minus 16 for what it's worth.
Yeah, that was the year that I think congressional.
Yes.
Where it rained so much. And it was literally a free target zone. Like, guys were just throwing darts because it was so wet and so soft that it was just balls weren't rolling out of the fairway, and you could literally go at every single pin, and it was just sticking because everything was so wet and soaked. So I remember that one being one. And then I think when Koepka won at Erin Hills, which actually hosts the U.S. Open for the women 2 weeks ago in Wisconsin, that was a very, very lower winning score, like maybe
– same.
15, 16. I don't know if you have it in front of you, Mike, but maybe that was a...
To tie McIlroy's record, but it was 272, so par 72.
What was the city course in L.A. that hosted this? A couple of years, was that the year before last? Do you have the scores open there, Mike?
Wyndham Clark, minus 10.
Minus 10, okay. I was wondering, because that it felt like... I remember talking to you during that tournament, Brian, and there was, I think, a decent amount of, it's not hard enough.
Yeah, minus six is the highest winning score of the last 6 years. So maybe that'll shift this week. I don't know. What's your prediction, Brian?
Well, I mean, supposedly they've made it harder with that recent renovation that happened in 2023. And they've taken the surface area of the greens and made them larger, which I guess initially my thought was, oh, does that make it easier than hit the green? Possibly, yes. But I was reading how that they said that they, by expanding the greens, it allows them for more what they call challenging pin placements now. There were other spots that they really couldn't put the pins, but now because they have more surface area and more spots to put the pins, they can put it in more challenging spots, which ideally then would make the scores go up. So even though maybe the surface area in total is a larger target, they're thinking with where the pins are going to be and maybe where golfers will shoot at, that it'll end up actually over the entire course of the tournament, make it tougher.
Next time I see you, I want to quiz you on some of our past Pick 10 games to see if you remember, because you'll probably almost always, if not always, remember the event for the winner or for something else. But then remember whether or not you spent money, you paid us or got paid by us. Because I've got in this notebook, I've got every major since we started and who won the tournament. But in some, I don't remember whose side we all were on. So next time I won't, you know, draw this out now. Next time, you know, you're in here, if you think of it.
Unfortunately, our Venmo history does not go back to 2013.
No.
Right.
I guess it doesn't.
That would be...
How did we pay each other?
That would be helpful. I think I remember crumpling up money and throwing it in your spot.
Oh, that's a Bauk move for sure. Well, Brian, one more before we get to your picks. Quickly, we were talking about Bryson DeChambeau earlier. We've done this before. I have a longtime friend, John McEntee, who wrote me today about how fake he thinks all the stuff with the fans is from DeChambeau. He said that Brandel Chamblee from the Golf Channel was on Dan Patrick today, and John was listening, and Dan Patrick asked Chamblee.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
About this, if it's calculated how DeChambeau acts. John did not tell me how Chamblee responded, but he liked that at least somebody asked the question. So here we are asking the question of you. Do you think? Do you buy DeChambeau's, quote, personality on the course?
Yeah, I think probably at some point his PR team, his agent, you know, all that sort of stuff got to him and say, look, like, if you want to change your status or change your image or make more money, this is maybe a better route in terms of how you should handle yourself. He always seemed, initially, DeChambeau's career, like, I viewed it more as a curiosity. Like, who is this guy that's using all his clubs are the same length? Like, what's he doing here? And he's, you know, he's floating balls in water to do, like, buoyancy testing to see which ones he should use on the course in terms of how they'll react better. Like, initially, he definitely had that, like, mad scientist thing that I thought was interesting. I don't know if I would label it likable, but I thought it was interesting. Yeah. Then he kind of got into, I'm going to bulk up and try to hit it farther than anybody else. And I feel like that's where he became a little bit more brash and became kind of like, you know, I'm so big and bad, like, that I don't have time.
He sort of took on a villain persona, I think.
Silly questions from the media.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, me and Brooks Koepka are going to get into an argument, and I'm going to try to be tough and all that. I thought that was definitely maybe the low for him. And then, of course, his move to LIV. But since then, he's definitely at least, I think, attempted to try to become more likable. Now, can a guy mature from young, you know, younger 20s, like maybe we all have, and have a different perspective on what his impact can be on the game of golf? Sure. And I think he probably has realized, like, look, I don't need to act like an ass or a jerk to be successful. And since, you know, success off the course too can come at a higher rate for me if I act more likable and more fan friendly and interact with kids and do YouTube videos and have my own page and, you know, do these break 50 kind of things with all these celebrities. So, I think part of it has to be that he has matured and realized that, but I also think there's definitely a side of him that said, hey, this is how I can become more marketable and sell myself better and make my image look better. And I think that's probably what many mega stars in sports at some point have to realize. It's like, how do I want to be known publicly? Because it ultimately affects my brand, which in the end is the bottom line for a lot of these guys.
I mentioned earlier, and I don't think I'd ever said it this way before, because I've been kind of all over the place with him. I also found, I remember you first talking with you when he showed up on the scene, and like, wait, you're telling me his pitching wedge is the same length as his four iron? What is even happening right now? And that was a curiosity, but I didn't really like him much, and then I kind of bought this image makeover, and now I'm a little more skeptical. One thing that has not changed is I don't really like watching him hit the golf ball. I feel like it's a very, it is brute force. And look, there's something to be said for that. And it obviously is successful. I mean, he's done plenty of winning. He's one of the best players of this era. But watching him actually address the ball and swing on it does not give me, it just feels like I'm watching a Boston Dynamics robot or something.
I think robotic is a great way to describe it. I think watching him putt, to me, is also even just painful looking. Like, how he holds the club up against his arm, and it's very, very robotic. It's not part of, you know, some of the things that I enjoy about watching pro golf is it's so smooth, it's so graceful, it's so effortless for as far and as powerful as they're hitting it. You know, you think of Fred Couples, Ernie Els, guys that have these, even Mickelson, that have these just magical swings. DeChambeau, quite the opposite. I think him taking a different approach, that whether it's the length of the clubs or maximizing his distance in terms of those things, I'll give him credit. He's tried a different approach that he feels like is going to lead him to separate himself from the best. So I'm okay. I respect that portion of it. Mm-hmm. I agree with you in terms of, like, watching him actually swing the ball. There's other guys I would rather see hit the ball and be oohed and awed by.
Aesthetics. Brian, we've got 3 minutes. Can you tell us who you want? Pick 10.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. Well, I'm taking all the top three in the top tier for the half payout. Scheffler, DeChambeau, who we've been spending a lot of time talking about, and Rahm. I know Rahm and McIlroy on some betting odds here are tied, but we decided, I know, collectively to make Rahm number three. So I'm going to take all three of them. Rahm had a chance to win at the PGA. He was tied with Scheffler going into the back nine. He has been playing outstanding on LIV, for whatever that's worth. He hasn't translated a lot to majors, but I think in a grinding sort of atmosphere as the Open, I feel like I like Rahm there. So I'm going to take all the top three. You know, I don't need to argue why Scheffler is a pick two here. Mm-hmm. In the middle, I've got Schauffele. He's been money at the U.S. Open. Even though he hasn't officially won one yet, I think he's due to get one at some point. Shane Lowry's been playing great golf. He plays hard golf courses hard. He was second behind DJ here in 2016 at Oakmont. So I've got him in the middle tier. Also in the middle tier, Sepp Straka, who's played great this year. Ooh. He also is very accurate and number one in greens and regulation, which is an important factor, I think, when you're trying to stay out of trouble. So I've got him in the mid tier. Russell Henley, who's played U.S. Opens very well. He's an accurate driver off the tee, so I'm hoping he stays out of trouble. I've got him in my middle tier. So the middle tier are Schauffele, Lowry, Straka, and Henley. And then going outside of the top 20 to try to get the double pay, Sam Burns, who really played well last week, is number one in strokes gained putting. So I'm trying to take some guys here that are maybe playing well to take advantage of the high odds. Harris English is outside the top 20. He finished this year 12th at the Masters and second at the PGA. And I like to think maybe he's got a shot. And then just even a little bit more down the board, Cam Young is my last one outside of the top 20. He's performed well in majors, even though despite the fact he had to qualify to get in this week. So three in the half tier, three in the double pay tier, and then the other six are in the middle.
We don't have time to get into it now, but tomorrow we're going to talk about you skipping Rory. Because I had a thought on him earlier, too. I wouldn't have picked him either for this, and we'll get into it when we visit while round one is wrapping up tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Good luck, Brian. I don't mean it. All right, thank you. Good luck to us.
Thank you for joining us. I do mean that.
Ian McMillan, betting analyst for SI.com, quote, "I don't think Rory has a chance to make the cut." So you can find odds on that maybe somewhere.
Yeah.
So Cameron Young is the player who was like right in position to tie or beat Burns in Toronto, but flew the 18th green, you know, incredibly on that last hole and ended up blowing it. And his thing is that. His thing is like finishing. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, for the sport of it, like to see Brian make it interesting with him. Just to see if he could actually close a deal in this, of all tournaments, have this be the one where you know, you get your win. But Brian, that's a pretty
not the usual bunch.
You skipped a lot of big names. I like it.
Yep.
All right, we'll have Brian on again tomorrow and see how he looks after round one. Sal joined us earlier to talk about minicamp. We spent a lot of time on the other teams earlier. Hope you like it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. That's next on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.